Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Flip Weekly podcast. My name is Matt. I am the host. This is a podcast all about flipping. This is all about going to garage sales, thrift stores, finding things on Facebook Marketplace that we can buy cheaply and resell for a lot of money. Now, it is the first week of December. It's come around quickly, and that means it is time for Thriftmas, the very first iteration of Thriftmas, a combination of the words thrifting and Christmas, very, very creative. And what Thriftmas is this year, it's sort of my attempt at giving back to not just the Flip Weekly podcast listeners, but the subscribers to the newsletter, which has been going on for what feels like forever. So Thriftmas week one. Think of it as your local RSL raffle, your Christmas raffle, but we're doing it all online. You don't have to buy tickets. You don't have to go down to that soulless auditorium. You don't have to indulge in the bistro cuisine. You know, where I used to live, like in Lake Macquarie years and years ago, it may be the worst RSL I've ever been to. They loved to turn off the TVs as people are still in there because they just want to go home. They had the worst food. I swear, their potato chips, they came out green. I remember calling them up to order some food before. And I said to them, like, this is my order. And they were like, okay. And they said, how long? I said, how long will it take? And they were like, it's ready now. I'm like, what the fuck? This is not a good sign. You mean you're cooking it on the spot? It's like, no, we just have it ready. That's fucking disgusting. So you don't have to go down to your RSL to enjoy Thriftmas. You just have to sit right there, right where you are, because for the first week of Thriftmas, we're going to be giving away not a Christmas ham, not a meat tray, not what is worse than a meat tray, a vegetable tray. Remember going to the RSL and they're all out of the meat trays and you get like the leftovers from the fruit fucking place. We don't have that. Although a free ham in December is maybe the best thing ever, right? It is the best thing ever. I could eat an entire fucking ham, mung on it all fucking day. But what we are giving away is, drum roll, a Vinny's gift card. Surprise, of course it's going to be a Vinny's gift card. It's going to be a $50 Vinny's gift card. Hopefully the winner will be able to turn that into a bit more money. I mean, if you're able to buy things for a dollar and sell them for $100, technically we're giving away, what's that? Like, is that $500? $5,000? No, $500. So it's a $50 gift card that you'll be able to turn into $500. I'm sure I should say something like, we don't guarantee that. But we're going to be giving that away. The way to enter is to go onto our social media, Flip Weekly social media accounts. There's going to be posts there on Facebook, Instagram. All you have to do is like give it a like. Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, like the post. And same with Instagram, like the post. Then to get an extra entry, you can tag somebody in the comment section and it's one entry per comment. So you tag your friend, you press enter, you submit it or whatever. And then if you want to tag another friend, do it again. But yeah, I mean, most of us, we don't have more than two friends, right? How many friends do people have? So you can do that. You can win a $50 gift card, which is really worth like $500 to us flippers. And I mean, next week could be even better. No guarantees with that. We don't know what we'll be giving away next week. It could be a ham if enough people want a ham. I'm not giving away a ham. I don't know how you would ship a ham. It wouldn't fit into a... it might actually fit in an Australia Post extra large box, but I don't know how that would work. The logistics of shipping a ham through Australia Post... It wouldn't turn out good, especially with Australia Post this time of year doing the sorry we missed you. And then they might be a bit sorry when they have a ham sitting in their back office in the heat for weeks at a time, because that's if you get a sorry we missed you card. You wouldn't be expecting it and the ham would just sit there. Not good. Anyway, that's Thriftmas. Make sure you enter Vinny's gift card. I mean, who can say no to a Vinny's gift card? If there's no Vinny's near you, just wait until next week to win that ham. This has been a big week. You know, we had plenty of sales. We bought a few things from the thrift store. On Sunday, I was able to have a chat with ABC in Brisbane. So we had a post on social media get picked up by the folks over there at ABC Brisbane, and they wanted to have a quick chat about thrifting, about flipping, essentially what it is. I assume their listener base don't know what flipping is, because the very first question from this host was, what is flipping? And my mind immediately was like, oh, like these are the questions we're going to be getting, like the bare basics, the bare bones, not anything interesting. Like, we're not on Hot Ones. We don't have Sean Evans interviewing us. We're talking about what is flipping. And you know, when you get such a standard, you know, like if somebody asked you, like, what are pants? And you're like, what? That shit, how do I describe pants? That's sort of what it was like. What is flipping? Well, go into a thrift store and you flip, I guess. So we had that interview. I'm going to put it somewhere in this podcast so you could have a listen. I was a bit anxious in the lead up just because they said that the interview was going to be max 18 minutes, which is a very long time to do an interview for. You know, that's like a segment of 60 minutes, right? And I've done interviews before, TV, radio, etc. And, you know, you get 2 minutes, 3 minutes max. If you're doing 18 minutes for an interview, you're on the fucking 60 minutes couch and defending yourself, right? So I was a bit anxious in the lead up to it. They said that they were going to have some calls. The producer was telling me in the lead up that, you know, some people might call up. And after the social media post that they found me on was getting some negative comments about how resellers are ruining thrifting, I thought, well, we're going to be defending ourselves for the majority of this interview. You know, it was all about that Sonic collection that I sold last week. I told you it was my biggest thrift of all time. We turned $60 into what, $1,600, $1,500? And a lot of people online were not happy about that. They essentially said that we ripped those Sonic books out of, like, I mean, almost starving children's hands. The children that go to op shops to buy books. And I don't know about you, but as a reseller that goes into thrift stores, the amount of kids I've seen in thrift stores, I could probably count on one fucking hand. You know, they're not in there. If they're in there, they're probably stealing shit, right? So they shouldn't be, the argument that we're taking things away from destitute kids is just, I mean, it's such a bad argument. We had some comments from people saying that you should, that thrift stores should be validating the financial status of people that go thrifting, that it should only be for poor people, which, I mean, the very first time I read this, I was like, oh, like this person votes and this is their idea. Like, this may be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then there was like that same take from multiple different people. And then I sort of came to realize, like, this is how Australia got into our current mess. We have these ideas going around. So yeah, we had some brilliant comments on social media. At the same time, who gives a fuck about it, to be honest? Like, who was it that said, if you don't have anything nice to say, write it in the comments? That's just at the front of my mind every time I see these comments. Who cares? You know, it's water off a duck. Wow. It's water off a duck's back. And, you know, we're just going to keep doing our thing. We go to these thrift stores and we prop these cunts up, right? We spend so much money there, more than the average person, I swear. I probably would have spent thousands in a combination of like Vinnie Salvo, Savers, every other independent op shop throughout the year, which contributes more to their, you know, their services that they provide to the Australian community. You could reply with all that sort of, with that argument, but what's the point? You know what I mean? But anyway, enough about social media drama. Yeah, we went to thrift stores during the week as we usually do. And the very first thing that I found, I thought I was in for another huge payday, right? I came across a DVD and it's called Totally Full Frontal Best of Series 2. You know, we had that massive op shop sale last week of $1,600. I thought we were about to have it again. The reason I thought that was because this TV show is like a holy grail when it comes to thrifting. The TV show Full Frontal, a strange sketch comedy. I have never seen it. I assume based on Australia's past sketch comedy shows, it was awful. But then I look at the cast, you know, we have Sean McAuliffe, we have Eric Bana, semi-decent, right? But then I also think, well, I had Julia Morris on it. It ran for 4 years back in the 90s. It launched some of those careers, like I said. And speaking of Australian sketch comedy show, did anyone ever watch the sketch comedy show Open Slather? That had some it had some horrible, horrible people on it. They had theatre kids acting as comedians. Some of the sketches were funny, and I can think of two off the top of my head. The rest were forgettable, but they had one with Magda Subansky as Gina Reinhart. She's sitting in her office chair petting a piece of coal, going on about what's mine is mine, what's in the mine is also mine. That was just like, I thought that was funny. And the other one that I don't know is funny, I think I just think everyone in the sketch had punchable faces, was there was a sketch called Privilege Poor. You can look it up on YouTube right now. If you type in Open Slather, Privilege Poor. There's a bunch of prep school kids talking about how they're rich, but they're also poor. Just look at it. Look at those people's faces. Tell me they do not have punchable faces. I don't know what any of them did in the Australian comedy scene since that show got cancelled after what, fucking one season. But just watch that sketch, because that's Australian sketch comedy and it's great apparently. So this show, Full Frontal, if you can find all 5 seasons of it on DVD at your local op shop, you'll be able to get so much money for it. It's out of print, it's hard to find. Highly, highly sought after. The very last sale for series 1 to 5 was in September. That might make you think, well, nobody's buying it right now. It's just because it's so hard to find that the full series DVD set is not going to be coming up, you know, every single day to be able to buy. And at the same time, who's spending $1,000 on DVDs, right? It sold, you know, I just gave it away. It sold for $1,000. Full Frontal series 1 to 5 sold for $1,000. So I see this totally Full Frontal best of series 2 DVD. And you know immediately what I started to do. I was scouring the racks, hoping I could find the rest of the series. I mean, this was totally Full Frontal was like a spin-off of Full Frontal. It's not the original show. And again, this is like a best of. So it's not the entire series 2. It's like the best of parts. That sort of stuff doesn't sell for that much money, but I'm looking throughout the shelves desperate to find it. Unfortunately, I didn't find it. You know, all the DVDs there were priced at like under $3 for a complete season. So if I was able to find like 1 to 5, pay $15 and sell it for $1,000, that would have been a home run. And then I'm looking at this specific DVD that I did find, totally Full Frontal Best of Series 2. We have a single sale and it was via auction. And it had like 2 bids for like $3.50. Really, really bad. But the thing is, somebody has listed it up for $300. And there's no other listing. And there's no one else, you know, offering this up, like in terms of totally Full Frontal best the series 2. So I'm thinking, like, is somebody going to buy this? It's possible that they might, just because there's no other DVD of it. So I'm thinking, like, what do we do? Do we list it up for like what they're doing it for and maybe undercut them a bit and hope that we get the sale? Or should we just do something a bit more realistic? I'm not too sure. I actually haven't listed it up just yet. I just wanted to talk about it because this fucking TV show is so expensive. And yeah, I was disappointed when I was looking throughout the DVDs, because who just donates a single DVD of like a television show? It's such a weird thing to do. Like, if you have a collection of DVDs and you have only one season of a show, it's just unusual. Like, it's not even series 1, it's series 2. Who goes out to the store and buys just best of series 2? It's unusual. Weird behavior. Strange people, us Australians. But yeah, wasn't meant to be. So maybe there wasn't somebody weird donating it. Maybe somebody else grabbed the other Full Frontal DVDs. Who knows? I'll list mine up, maybe $50. just try it at $50. That would be whatever I paid, like $2-3 into 50. Just, yeah, keep an eye out for this television show, Full Frontal, man. It gets talked about a lot on Australian resale channels, but I've never found it, and will I ever? Who the fucking knows? So the next thing I found, which was actually worth a bit of money, we're not going to talk about something, I mean, we just talked about something I didn't find. If I had a podcast about talking about thrifting items that I didn't find, we could talk about anything, right? But this next item, I found it in the board games and the puzzle section. You know, two things that I wouldn't fucking have in my own home. But they can be great money makers. And what I was able to find sort of combined two niches or two interests. The first interest was The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. One of the best movies, I mean, one of the best opening movies in a trilogy, right? Fellowship of the Ring, I think is, I watch it when I'm feeling nostalgic for New Zealand. Been there so many times, I watch it just because of the fucking, the scenery and all the places that they visit. You can go to New Zealand right now and do Lord of the Rings sightseeing. But you combine that with what I saw on the shelf, which was, it said deck building game, DECK. So it's the Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring deck building game. And here's the thing about board games. The more sort of complex and nerdy the game feels, I've found personally, the more it can be worth. It's not the Lord of the Rings Monopoly. It's not hugely manufactured by the company that makes Monopoly. You know, you could find Monopoly Lord of the Rings for like, what, $50, if that. This is niche. It's nerdy, it's complex. Deck building game, it's one of those games that has an instruction book that is pages long and you tune out after the first 5 seconds, right? So it was priced at $5.99, and the only thing I was worried about when it comes to these games is making sure they're complete. You know, I've talked so many times about, you know, taking an item home and if there's one piece missing, that alters your entire title on eBay. It changes everything, right? Because you have to say, well, 99% complete or 95% complete. You just don't get as much money for it. So I was willing to take a gamble at $6 because I looked up comps and I was like, okay, let's do this. I took it home, opened it up, went through all of the cards. There wasn't that many. Went through all the pieces. What do you know? It's complete. And I've said before, the people that buy these games, the people that play these games, not to stereotype, not to put them all in the one box, but they're usually pretty good with making sure that the game is like well looked after. So it's all complete. That's great. What are we thinking for comps? Well, if it was brand new, you can obviously get more than if it was pre-owned. We have sales and active listings in the US, brand new for $125, pre-owned $70. Now that, you know, $70 isn't usually an item that I'd be excited about, but we live on a fucking island, right? We don't get the good stuff here. People aren't willing to pay for shipping to Australia. So what do we have in terms of active listings? Nothing within Australia. Literally nothing. This game is not available, from what I can see, anywhere in Australia. You'd just have to get lucky somehow locally to buy this game if you really wanted it. And look, I'm not in any sort of board game collectors group or board game groups. Whether or not they talk about this game, I don't know. But I do know Lord of the Rings is extremely popular. And if this pops up, people are going to be looking at it. So what do? We add on our Australia tax, our tax for living in Australia. The cheapest you can get this from eBay, you have to bring it in from America, right? Is $120. So that's what I'm going to list it up as, $120. This is going to be $6 or $5.99 into $120. Now, I'm confident I'm going to get that. And why am I confident? It's because of the sell-through rate. We're currently sitting at 104% sell-through rate. When I'm picking up items, I'm wanting a high sell-through rate. I don't want to buy something and it sits forever. So we look at the active listings, we compare it against the sold listings, we work out a value. If there's more sold than there are active, it means it's a higher sell-through rate. It means it will sell within about 90 days, if not quicker. So given that sell-through rate, I'm confident we're going to turn that $6 into $120. It's going to be a good flip. It might be someone's Christmas present. Hasn't sold just yet, but I am very confident. Now, the next thing I found was an unusual find in the men's section of a thrift store. It can only be described as a, I guess, like mid-90s robe. Something that you would expect Hugh Hefner to be wearing if he was into, I guess, 90s ABC kids shows. It is a bananas in pajamas robe. It has like that silk finish. Of course, it's 100% polyester. But it was in really good condition. It was marked at $5.99. And I thought, well, this is weird. This is not something you see every day in the men's section. So I had a look at it and I could see it had a Davenport tag. Now, Davenport is a brand I'm only sort of familiar with, mostly because they did, or my experience with them is they did vintage, I guess, yeah, 90s ties, like AFL ties, old school Looney Tunes ties. So to see them doing a bananas in pajamas robe isn't that obscure. I was able to find a copyright date within this robe of 1996. It was one of those items that I thought, well, this could be rare enough that it's worth a bit of money. And look, I couldn't find a single comp on eBay. I couldn't see anything in active or sold listings. You know, it had like this really cool blue and white stripe all around it. And then it had the two bananas in pajamas repeated throughout the pattern with their catchphrase, "Do you know what I'm thinking?" But when I was able to do some proper comp research, I could see a sold listing on Etsy. And the price was like, this can't be right. I don't know how Etsy works in terms of sold listings, but I could see on the listing it said sold. So I guess it's sold, right? Whether or not like they ended it and then it says sold, if you know, please tell me. But this was listed up in a European country for 102 euros. And when you convert that to our joke of a currency, it's worth 180 Australian dollars. Now look, this one said extra small, but the robe that I got said one size fits all. And look, I haven't tried it on just yet. It's not sexy. Look, it's not sexy. Not that if I put on a robe, I would look sexy or I'd make anything look sexy. But this says $180 Australian dollars. Is it an $180 robe? Are people that into bananas and pajamas that they'd spend almost $200 on like this silk-ish, sort of, but not really silk robe? It's a, yeah, I don't know. It is 90s bananas in pajamas. Is that category so popular that you can get $200 for a robe? I guess we'll find out. I haven't got any data for you just yet because just like the DVD of Totally Full Frontal, I haven't had a chance to list this up and I know it's bad. You know, I always say to people, as soon as you get something, list it up. But this, I've just been too fucking busy, right? And I want to give it a wash before I list it up, just because it's somebody's robe. And you know, I use that comparison to Hugh Hefner and I just put things in my head of what this robe was used for. So I don't want to be touching it too much, right? Like I got it out of the thrift store, I got it home and then I was like, yeah, let's chuck this in the wash. So I need to get some of the proper like stain removers just in case. And yeah, just give it some, I was going to say give it some love, but that just sounds sort of gross after saying like Hugh Hefner and a dirty robe. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, we have a sold comp for $180 on Etsy and we paid $6 for it. I'm going to eventually list this up on eBay. Surely not for $180. That just seems a bit insane. Maybe $100. And see how it goes. If it has interest, then I guess we'll know for next time if we ever come across something like this. If you want to see photos of any of these items, by the way, just jump onto flipweekly.com, check out the newsletter, they're all there. But anyway, in terms of $100 items, we have something else, and it's an unlikely, I guess, offender, right? I saw it in Savers. It was in its own bag, which usually means, at least to me, that Savers knows that this is worth a bit more than a regular item that, you know, they put with other items in bags. It looked like a soldier, looked like an action figure. There was this black man with, looked like rockets on his shoulders, didn't have any sort of accessory. He just looked like a soldier, like an action figure. He had articulated hands, some articulation in the legs, and that was it. Like a standard, what, like 6-inch action figure. I didn't recognize who he was. He looked new. He didn't look old. We're not talking like old school Masters of the Universe or anything from the 80s. Everything about him just screamed probably 2000s. And so I looked him up. He was $10. I use Google Lens. If you're unfamiliar with Google Lens, download the app, you take a photo, and it tells you what it is. And it turns out this guy is a character called Demo Man, which I assume stands for Demolition Man because it looks like he has rockets, from the game Team Fortress 2. Now, if you're thinking like, oh, I don't know what Team Fortress is, how am I supposed to find something like this? The familiarity with the game is irrelevant. All you need to know is if it's sold online, how often it's sold online, and for how much. So we open up eBay and we search for the name of the thing in the game. We search for Demo Man Team Fortress 2. And to say that the results shocked me would be an understatement. We can see that this figure has active listings, if it was brand new, still sealed, which it obviously isn't, for about $500. That includes multiple people watching, like 26 people watching this thing. So I see that and I'm like, holy shit, this action figure brand new is close to $500. How much is it loose? Just like the figure by itself. So I look on the sold listings. I can see this figure with what looks to be like four accessories, like a gun, like a cannon, for $250 sold on the 28th of November, just the other day. The sale just before that, the 16th of November, with maybe two guns, so a few less guns, for $167. So this thing is selling all the time for a boatload of fucking money. Now, coming back to our figure, we have just the guy all by himself. Now, we can't get $500 because it's not brand new. We can't get $250 because we don't have the guns. But if we sell him loose, incomplete, just him by himself, I think we can get $100, and that's exactly what I listed him up for. And I was just surprised that this sort of game, this action figure, sold for so much money. I actually looked on sold listings and sorted by highest to lowest just to see what else was out there. And a lot of the sealed figures sell for about $500. Like there's a guy named Pyro, Medic, Heavy. All these figures sell for over $500 all in November. It's just insane. I don't understand why this game is so, I mean, why these toys from this game are so popular. I guess the game was popular. I guess the figures were, that's a common fucking sense, right? The game was popular, the figures were popular, therefore that's popular. Maybe not mass manufactured, and then you get these high sale prices. So what are you going to do right now? Are you just going to digest that information and not go play Team Fortress 2 right now? Or are you going to download Team Fortress 2 and memorize all the fucking characters, so if you see these out in the wild, you can buy them and make money? I know what you should be doing. Whether or not we'll do it, I mean, I'm not going to fucking do it. I'm just going to rely on Google Lens, but should we play it? Maybe. Now, look, we're in the middle of this podcast, so I think it's about time we chuck on this ABC interview. It doesn't go for very long. The answers and the questions aren't that interesting, but I thought, you know, let's just put it on, see what ABC has to say to us.
Right now, though, do you love a bit of op shopping? I used to love op shopping back in the day. I don't get time to do it that often anymore. Are you a bit of a bargain hunter? You know, there's some people who are very, very into it. They will spend all their time there hanging out. They'll put time aside for op shopping. Maybe you're one of those people who's just continuously scrolling marketplace, and it just chills go down your spine when you see a sign for a garage sale. Someone who knows that rush all too well is Matthew Carpenter. He's a podcaster and founder of Flip Weekly. G'day, Matthew.
Hey, Sally. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Now, you are from Brisbane and you're a flipper. Tell us about flipping.
So flipping is just going into a thrift store, going to a garage sale, finding something on the shelf that you can buy for a dollar, maybe sell it for $100.
Now, see, I always think that I've found a great bargain when I go to those places, but it seems I never have. Matthew, how do you know if you found something that is flip-worthy?
Well, really, you just have to do your research. There's so many apps out there that you can use. The eBay app, for example, you can see active listings for an item. You can see sold listings for an item. If you see something interesting in a thrift store, you can look it up on the app and see what it's worth.
Yeah. Do you have favorite like places where you find stuff? Like, do you find op shops are better? Because it seems to me these days, like I'm just a humble civilian who liked a bit of op shopping back in the day. It seems like things have gone up. Op shops are heaps more expensive now.
Yeah, but with that said, what isn't more expensive now?
Good point.
You know, five years ago, my rent was, what, $350, and now it's $525.
Good points.
if I went to an op shop 5 years ago, a DVD was maybe a dollar. I can still go into an op shop today and find a DVD for a dollar.
Yeah. So what kind of stuff are you looking for, Matthew? Do you have it in your head when you walk in to an op shop what you are looking for on that day, or is it just kind of a vibe?
It's really just what stands out to me. I'll go into an op shop and I'm looking for something that's rare and unique. You know, I'm not trying to find a pair of jeans. I'm not trying to find just a basic t-shirt. I'm looking for stuff you don't see every day, you know, the rare stuff, the older stuff, the stuff that just stops you in your tracks.
Okay, so what are you talking about, the rare and older?
Well, I mean, it was just this year that I went into an op shop and I found what is called a Beanley Rum mug, which is a character mug from one of the oldest distilleries in Australia. It's like hand-formed. That I bought for $5 and it sold instantly for $500.
What?
And the reason it stood out was just because it was some random dude's face on a mug, and I thought, well, this looks weird.
Who is the random dude with a face on the mug?
I have no idea. I just know that it sold like within 30 minutes for $500.
That's amazing. You're on 612 ABC Brisbane and Queensland this morning, 10:45. Sally Rope is my name. Good to have you company. Speaking with Matthew Carpenter. He's a podcaster and founder of Flip Weekly, and he resells stuff, flips, as the kids say these days, stuff that he finds in op shops and online garage sales, that kind of stuff. So take me through this. You walk into an op shop and you see something and then you're like, oh my God, I'm just going to start Googling this now because I kind of have a vibe that that might be something that people want.
That's right. And majority of the time it comes back with it being completely worthless.
Right.
It's just that one time. You just need that one hit to be able to make big money. And so, yeah, you jump onto eBay, you check for sold comps, sold listings, and you can see whether or not something is going to be selling for a lot of money. And, you know, it doesn't happen that often, but you'd be surprised. On my newsletter and podcast, I talk about it once a week, every Thursday, and there's always a huge hit that I'm able to find in a thrift store.
Wow. So I've got like a bunch of stuff that's just hanging around my house that I've inherited from grandparents and parents. Is there anything in particular that I could possibly be looking through that for, and you might have a suggestion of what could be something that I could resell for $500? Or should I just be going through it all and Googling it?
Well, if you have your grandparents' old spoon collection, it's worth nothing. All of that old china that, you know, the older people kept in their china cabinets and they never used, that stuff again is worth nothing.
Oh, come on, Matthew. That's the stuff I've got.
I mean, look, I'm sure there's something there.
Yeah.
The only thing you can really do is look it up and see what it's worth.
Now, you had a bit of a win this week too. But see, this is the thing. I guess, you know, I'm 50 and I think, stuff that's going to be worth stuff is that old china. But you had a bit of a win this week with something completely different, a series of books about Sonic the Hedgehog. How do you know whether or not that's worth something?
That's right. So I went into a Vinnie's op shop here in Sydney and I saw a bunch of Sonic the Hedgehog books on the shelf. They were listed for just $3 a book. There was 20 of these things.
Yeah.
And I listed them up on eBay. They sold this week. And those Sonic books that I paid $3 per book for sold for $1,600.
What?
Yeah, I was shocked too. Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh, that's amazing. Matthew Carpenter is with us, podcaster and founder of Flip Weekly, talking about stuff that he buys in op shops and then resells for apparently a lot of money online. So is there anything at the moment that is kind of hot? Because I've got a lot of CDs. Are they worth anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much value to be found in old media, whether it's CDs, DVDs, even VHS.
Really?
I'm sure a lot of listeners have maybe kids that have grown up and they have old VHS of The Wiggles. I've sold a Wiggles VHS for $250.
Goodness.
It's extremely popular. The DVD series of The Wiggles, series 1 to 5, you can get close to $1,000 for that.
Goodness me. Wow. So the toys, the older kid stuff is...
Yeah, it's a huge category. Old media, old toys, nostalgia items. People go crazy for items from their childhood. If you have that stuff lying around, I'm sure it's worth a bit of money.
And what's the best way to resell things, Matthew?
Look, you can do it locally on Facebook Marketplace. The audience isn't as large as what you would find on eBay.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend putting an item on eBay. It's very easy to create an account and list up an item. Yeah, you have access to all the eBay users in the world, hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah, wow. Hey, Matthew, some very good tips there. Really appreciate you joining us today on 612 ABC Brisbane and Queensland. Thanks, Matthew.
Beautiful. Thanks, Ali.
So that interview took place on Sunday morning, ABC Brisbane. They did say I was from Brisbane, but I am from Sydney. I'm not sure why they kept saying I was from Brisbane. Even the producer on the phone initially was like, I can see you're in Brisbane. Like, not really. So yeah, mostly generic flipping questions. I was expecting a caller to, you know, phone up and say, why are you taking things from needy children? But that didn't happen. Sort of a bummer because it would have made for, you know, more entertaining listening. We're going to move on to what I sold for the week. And look, it's Christmas time. People are in a rush to really buy things. I think I said back in November, you know, we have a period of time within November where Christmas is on the mind. When it starts to get into December, we're going to see a peak. Has that peak happened? I'm not too sure, but it will subside as it gets closer to Christmas and people stop buying because they don't trust Australia Post to deliver on time. So right now, in the first week of December, we may be hitting the peak or just past the peak. I don't know. It's so hard to judge. I think after December, we'll do like a post-mortem on when the peak for Christmas buying happened. I'm sure eBay will have that data too. They might put something out about it. But I think we should still be expecting Christmas sales today, unless it's going overseas, in which case that's probably past. So we still have a good, let's say a week, maybe 10 days of sales to come. But for this past week, I've had decent amount of sales. I finally sold the Monster in My Pocket bundle. I bought that for $30 off Facebook Marketplace and it sold for $300. Now, this is the Facebook Marketplace deal that I went out to. I drove about 25 minutes and I got talking to the seller and he eventually invited me inside and I basically went through his house and bought all of the stuff that was worth any sort of money. That included video games, Lego. I had a look at their vintage Pokemon collection and I said to them, like, please don't sell these to me because I'm going to lowball the fuck out of you and I don't want that to happen. So we got some good stuff on that deal. And this is why you go out and meet strangers off the internet, because you can make some good money. I mean, $30 into $300. This Monster in My Pocket bundle, I had slowly reduced the price on. It started out at about $500, and that was when we were still shipping to the US. You know, these tariffs, we've stopped shipping to arguably the biggest market on planet Earth. So I thought, well, I can't ask for $500. I'm not going to have that rich person from America buy this. Slowly reduced it, and it's off to somebody within Australia for $300 on a best offer. I thought, I'll just fucking sell it. It's $30 to $300. It's still really good money. Not as good as $30 to $500, but who gives a fuck? When I went out to this Facebook Marketplace deal, I got so many good items. It would be like easily a $1,000 Marketplace pickup. Like I paid something like $70 for the Lego that I got off this guy. And that Lego set just by itself is listed up for $500. Still hasn't sold, but it's going to sell eventually. It's sealed Lego, sealed vintage Lego of the Bionicles or Bionicles, whatever they're called. You can go back and, I don't know if I podcasted about it, but you can read about it in the Flip Weekly newsletter. See all that cool stuff that I got from that pickup, including a PlayStation 2 video game bundle that had video game in it that was worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Really, really cool. I'll totally go into the next person's house that invites me in on a Facebook Marketplace pickup, even though chances are eventually I will not make it out. Now, the next thing that sold, it was the action figure from this week, the Team Fortress 2 action figure of Demo Man. Listed him up for $100. He sold within one day, within 24 hours, 10 into $100. Again, if anybody ever says that you can't find things in thrift stores to resell, you just say flipweekly.com. There's an item there that sells in 24 hours almost every single fucking week. And this time it was just some generic action figure that was bought for $9.99 and it sold for $100. We have a couple of Nintendo 64 cartridges that sold. And if I said to you, what are the two most iconic Nintendo 64 games? Just think for a second what they would be. What would you say? Most iconic, most popular, the games that everyone buys when they get a Nintendo 64. What do you think they would be? Because they were the first two sales. I got these in a huge bundle lot. I listed both up. They both sold this week. The games are, and you're going to, I mean, you might have thought about these two games. They are Mario Kart and GoldenEye. The two most iconic games for this platform. I'm trying to think what the other iconic games for 64 would be. You know, I never personally had a 64. My dad did, and the only game that we played, this was when I was a fucking kid, was Conker's Bad Fur Day. And I wish I sold Conker's Bad Fur Day because it's a game that's worth, what is it worth now? Like $250? I really wish I had found Conker's Bad Fur Day. No, Mario Kart and GoldenEye. I'm just thinking, like, I can't believe that was the game that I played with my dad on Nintendo 64 as a kid way before my teenage years. It was fun, don't get me wrong. It just isn't a kid-friendly game, right? I mean, I guess kids are playing worse shit nowadays. But yeah, if you see photos of the cartridge for this Mario Kart game, man, it just proves that no matter the quality of the cartridge, it's going to sell if it's priced decently. Because I'm looking at a photo of this Mario Kart. It is in such poor condition. The coloring on the cartridge has gone, but that isn't the worst part. The worst part is that there's stuff on this cartridge that I don't know what it is. And it's so gross because it can come off. It looks like, you know, like the wall of a kid's bathroom stall where it's just filled with, it's like there's stuff on the wall and you're like, this is either like boogers. It's like, I don't want to say shit, but I mean, they're kids, right? It could be fucking shit, dried shit. It looks like, yeah, I think I said last week, it looks like somebody sneezed on the cartridge for like multiple times, not just once. It's like they used this cartridge as a tissue for like an entire season's worth of cold and flu. It is disgusting. I thought about cleaning it up, but then I thought like, I honestly don't want to touch it. I don't even want to touch it with cotton buds or like a napkin. So I just put it up. And it sold for $50, and it was the first thing that sold, the one that looked the most disgusting. It sold for $50. So this Nintendo 64 bundle that I got, it had the console, 5 controllers, maybe like 7 to 10 games. I think we had about $900 worth of value. So this was the first sale of $50. The other one was 007 GoldenEye. That cartridge was in a lot better condition. I guess I should be thankful that whoever owned these only used the one cartridge as a tissue. But yeah, that sold for $50. And look, when it comes to these games, you can get this price every single fucking week. You know, if you find one of these $10-$15, you can sell it $50 easily every single time. They're always being bought. They're so popular in 2025. They're going to be so popular in 2026 too. So if you're lucky enough to get a 64 bundle on Facebook Marketplace, if you find them at garage sales, always, always buy them. The next sale was a Planet of the Apes collection. It was a VHS still sealed that contained 5 movies. Now, sealed VHS is a big category. I am not too embarrassed to admit that I actually own a few sealed VHS. The more collectible ones are individual films. So this contained 5 of the movies, but it came on like 3 tapes. Those sort of big bundles aren't as popular as the single ones, but I would never pass up the opportunity to buy this for $5 in a thrift store because it's gone on to sell for about $50. No, why did I say about $50? It sold for $50. I accepted a best offer. It originally had a HMV price tag on it for like $69.95. So I listed it up for $69.95 as a bit of a gag and accepted a best offer because I have had it for a while. Just, I thought it was cool, man. Like, sealed VHS. You know who else thinks sealed VHS is cool? Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson went on one of those late night talk shows and talked about how he spent thousands and thousands of dollars on like 5,000 sealed VHS tapes. You know, the market at that time was going crazy. People were grading them. People were selling them for tens of thousands of dollars. A lot of people will scream money laundering as they like to when they don't understand a market. It was just a craze at the time. The prices have significantly dropped right now. But if you find a sealed VHS of a really good movie, you can get it graded and you can sell it for a bit of money. Some of the most popular titles, you know, Jurassic Park, Home Alone, all of the classics, you can get like sealed VHS of, you know, movies that aren't that collectible. I mean, you can get like Xanadu, Olivia Newton-John for like $10. So yeah, it really depends on the film, but I'm not going to pass them up. I always check VHS to see if they're sealed, you know, even if they don't have the plastic around the outside, open them up and see if there's a seal on the actual tape. You know, I've sold VHS for hundreds of dollars. I sold the Wiggles rocking, what was it? The Wiggles sailing around the world for $250. And that was pre-owned. If that tape was sealed, I could have doubled the price, made $500 from a Wiggles tape. So do not discount VHS. Do not discount that old media. Always be checking to make sure there isn't that mold, there isn't any markings on the tape inside of it. And you're good to go. You can make some good fucking money. Now, going back to Nintendo and Game Boy, it was the first week of the garage sale trail. I went on the Saturday, but then I also went on the Sunday with a friend of mine, and we hit up the very first sale of the day. And my friend brought me over a fucking Nintendo Game Boy bundle that included the Game Boy camera, the Game Boy printer, Game Boy printer paper still in its fucking box, and all of the instruction manuals and receipts, like the original receipts when this person bought them. And this is like on a Sunday after these people had a garage sale on the Saturday. So I was like, why is this still here? We ended up getting that entire bundle for $25. That has sold for $275. So that's 25 into $275. The thing is, I don't know why. I mean, it is Nintendo Game Boy and collectible, but these people would have to use this as a display piece. There's no way they're actually using it because I had to test these cunts out. And the quality on the camera is really, really bad. I mean, it honestly looks like, you know how you're playing like, you have like a pinata. You know, when you have a birthday pinata, how old am I? Have a birthday pinata and you put a blindfold on, you can still sort of see what's in front of you. That's what looking at this camera on a Nintendo Game Boy looks like. It is so fucking bad that the only way you can use this thing is as a display piece because you're not using it as a camera. With that said, I can picture some fucking millennial hipsters going to different areas, going to the Sydney Harbour Bridge and snapping a photo of the bridge with this camera, trying to be old school like that. But yeah, $275 just for that stuff. That was a really cool sale. I split that with my friend because he technically found it, and that's $275 in our pocket. Now look, there's more sales, there's more purchases. If you want to check them out, go to flipweekly.com. Remember, you can enter Thriftmas Week 1 by going to our social media. Make sure you read the instructions on the social media posts. You'll be able to like the post, you'll be able to comment, tag your friend in it. Each one of those gets you an entry. Then we'll use some social media picker online to randomly select somebody to win the Vinny's gift card. Next week will be Thriftmas Week 2. Let's try and up the prizes a bit. You know, I want this to be a great Christmas for at least, how many weeks before now in Christmas? Like 3 weeks. I want it to be a great Christmas for at least 3 of you people. So do that. And yeah, thanks again for listening to the Flip Weekly podcast. If you're on Spotify, give this a rate. If you're on YouTube, give us a like and subscribe. I'll see you again next week. Thanks again for listening. See ya.
Flip, 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 flip,